Look at what our text is saying here. The Lord despises wickedness. Evil cannot dwell with him. Pride is opposed by him. The boastful will not stand with him. Evil is hated by him. Liars will be destroyed by him. Murderers and deceivers are abhorred by him. Wow. Loved ones, please understand this as we live our lives, all right? God is so gracious and merciful, loving and kind, but please understand, God does not find our sin funny.
Welcome back, friends, to A Recipe for Rejoicing. We are here in Psalm chapter 5 today talking about the ingredients that belong in the recipe for joy. One thing that my friends and family know about me, I love recipes. I love to bake. I'm constantly testing out new recipes on my family. But the thing is that none of these things last. And what we need to find here in this passage is a lasting recipe, something that goes on forever with like joy in the Lord. So let's get back into it. Here is Pastor Robbie in Psalm chapter 5.
But it is not getting easier, but it will be more joy because there's more Jesus entering into your life. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., one of the ways that we gather to live out and to see more of this ingredient again, fill our lives and be a part of our church in seeking and abiding in him that we might know his joy. But David's not done even with this prayer piece. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 3. I love verse 3. He says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So interesting. Psalm 5 can also be called a morning psalm. It can also be seen as a morning prayer because of verse 3, because David's so intentionally holding up the power of the morning. In the morning, I seek you. In the morning, I pray to you. In the morning, again, my heart longs for you. In the morning, I prepare. In the morning, I watch to see what will happen. This could be a morning prayer. You could take Psalm 5. You could pray it every morning this week. That might be an unbelievably great suggestion. Notice how morning is repeated twice in verse 3. So again, David's intentionality with how he uses his mornings in the pursuit of joy found only in the Lord God Almighty. Now, I'm going to admit right now, church, okay, I am heavily biased here up front when it comes to verse 3. I'm heavily biased. What do you mean? Well, I'm a big believer in the morning. Like a big believer in the morning. However, we must all admit as we approach Scripture, there are so many examples in Scripture. Moses, here's David, and Jesus himself as to the power of the morning. Again, if I'm totally honest, and I want to be, my life, I live and die by my mornings. That is no exaggeration. I cannot do what I do. I'll never be who God wants me to be apart from my mornings with him. It won't happen. I live and die by my mornings seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, because apart from abiding in Jesus Christ, I and you can do nothing. When I see verse 3 here, it just makes my heart resonate so deeply with the power of what is being expressed. Notice here too, what I see David saying in verse 3 is priority. When I wake up, oh God, you are my priority. This is what I see David saying. When I rise, I'm insufficient for what the day requires in every aspect of my life. So in the morning, I seek you. In the morning, I prepare to meet with you. In the morning, I watch as I pray to see how you will answer. In the morning, oh God, you are first. The power of living a life where the Lord gets the first day of our week. where the Lord receives the first check that I write, where the Lord alone gets the first hour of my day. That is a life indicating the priority and the love for God above all else. The first day of my week, the first check that I write, and the first hour of my day in the morning, O God, do I seek you. I remember being at a conference several years ago, and pastor preacher Chip Ingram was there, great man, great pastor and speaker and author. I remember him, he's preaching a message, one of the things he said so practically, it's always stuck with me. I resonated with it based on what I've said to you already, but he said this to me, I've never forgotten it, I probably never will. He's like, you know, he's talking about pursuing the Lord and stuff, and he's like, I looked at my life and I asked myself, what do I do after 9 o'clock at night? And he's like, as I looked at my life, he goes, I realized that after 9 p.m. at night, I might watch the news, I might dabble a little bit of this, but for the most part, it's fairly unproductive. There's not a lot that I'm doing between 9 and midnight, whatever it is that I'm really excited about, or it's kind of enriching, especially my walk with the Lord. And he's like, so I decided, he's like, well, why would I want to do that? Why don't I go to bed earlier and then wake up earlier, where the best part of my day and the first part of my day is given again to the pursuit of the Lord. And he's like, I've been living that way ever since. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm just like, yeah, that really, really resonates with me personally. Like I'm listening and I'm like, what do I do after 9 o'clock? No. As I say this, I want to give tons of grace for those that are night people, okay? Which I understand would be more than a few. But you must ask yourself the same question as well. What is happening after 9 p.m., let's say, in the evening? How much productivity for the Lord is there? When am I at my best in that way? And maybe for you, it's an evaluation to say, yes, that's right. I'm going to, again, go to bed earlier. I'm going to use my time more wisely and then wake up in the preparation of seeking the Lord again in this way with a preparation and organization to be so watchful in all that the Lord would have for me. I've never forgotten that. It's always stuck with me so much. And I just had a hard time disagreeing with them. Again, lots of grace for those maybe who have struggles in the morning. I just think you need to see what the text is saying, the examples that have been before us. And we have to say again, how do I want to live my life in the way that God has given me opportunity? So this is a massive ingredient to the recipe of rejoicing. Notice David's intentionality. So we're still not done in this prayer theme. Look at the end of verse 3. He says, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So watch this. David's not waking up and scrolling through his social media feed, right? That's not what he's doing here. David is prepared. He's ordered. David has a plan of seeking God. He's prepared and ready, and he's ready to watch as well, to meet with his God. Let's get very practical here for a second. We've gone through this teaching in years past as well. So just taking this, in the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. Maybe this for you, this is stuff that we have, and we've taught. We have wonderful resources in our God Time 5G Life page, again, with on our website. This has been taught. The Institute does an awesome job with this and our group ministry and all of that. Let me just remind you, though, of the simplicity of coming with a plan of seeking the Lord, because David had this. First of all, get a plan. Get a plan. A plan to wake up. A reading plan of what you're going to do. A plan to have a journal. A plan of preparation of how you're going to spend your time seeking the Lord. Get a plan. Don't just show up and just kind of, you know, point somewhere in scriptures. Get a plan. How are you going to do it? How long are you going to do it? Again, we have so many resources to help you with this. Get a place. I am such a huge believer in having a place. Love my place. And on my break, I remember that's just where we found ourselves. I always found a place. And by a place, I mean like a chair. A chair. I just think about it right now, and just the times of meeting with the Lord and sitting in a chair and preparing myself and getting ready and organized and having my Bible and journal, whatever it is, and the time to sit and reflect. In some places, there is this beautiful view. In other places, I'm sitting there in the dark with a little lamp, whatever it might be, but having a place of routine to say, this is where I encountered the Lord. to seek and pray. I'm so excited about it even now because it makes such a difference. Get a plan and get a place and get a pen. A pen, why? To journal again what you have been learning. And all our resources can help you with that on the here method of journaling or other ways to sit down and have a pen to observe the things that God is saying to you. Get a prayer. One of my favorite verses from the Psalms is just for this prayer is that, oh Lord, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of your law. Even this morning, you know, I got up and yesterday was a weird day. That's no surprise because what was happening today. And then last night I wake up in the middle of the night and it's just stress and there's whatever. It's just weird, man. And just you're lying awake and then you're tired. It's early in the morning and you just got to get up. And I get to the plan that I have and the place I'm sitting there and then start to pray, Lord, actually, Father, I'm here again. I'm here, please speak to me. Father, please help me. I can't do it. And it's a prayer. It's just an honest, sincere prayer of saying, oh, Lord, I want to meet with you. And I love doing that too. Like when you pray, like when you have times here at the front of church, sometimes like even in small group, we can just pray like out of ritualism. And we're praying about people. We're trying to impress people that we're praying to them basically. Just forget all that, man. I try so hard to think, I'm praying to my Father right now. And he really, really loves me. And so Father, like I really need your help. And I really want to hear from you. And then from there, this is where the passion starts resulting. This is David's secret to being a man after God's own heart, in part. Do you know why so many believers lack joy? It's because they lack a plan and a prayer and a place to meet with Jesus. It's just not the priority. It needs to be. If you want true joy, it needs to be the priority. This is the first and essential ingredient of seeking the Lord and seeing a recipe for rejoicing again within our lives. And then notice the final two words of verse 3. We're still not done with this first ingredient. Look what he says, prepare and watch. Man, I love that so much. David's prayers are layered with expectancy. The NIV translates this, I wait with expectation. That is awesome. Right? So notice what's happening here. In the midst of trial, opposition, and pain, David goes to early, earnest prayer. But here's what we often do, right? We might pray about something, and we just leave it there, and we move on our day, and we never actually look back to say, hey, did God hear my prayer? David's like, no, man, I'm watching, I'm praying, and I'm waiting in expectancy for these prayers to be heard. We gotta do that more. Paul totally understood this. Colossians 4, verse 2, taking a page out of David's book, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving by faith that these prayers will be heard and answered. Early, earnest prayer. Did I mention we have a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Oh, good. I just wanted to make sure. This is how we live out again what we are talking about. One of my most basic prayers in my life is just, Lord, I pray for more prayer. I pray for more prayer. Lord, I need to pray more. I gotta pray more. There's too much prayerlessness in my life. I gotta pray more. So simple, so easy, so hard. I gotta pray more. I mean, as a church, this Wednesday, we gotta pray more. Pray for a praying church. God, make us a house of prayer. Please, Lord, please, Lord. Make us the people of prayer, families of prayer, marriages of prayer, friendships of prayer, groups of prayer. Prayer to seek you. Again, if we want to know the joy and the strength of the Lord, we have to be a people who pray. We have to be a people. Help us, Lord, to pray. Because again, when we pray, then we move towards the presence of God. And David says in Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy, right? I want joy. You say, I want joy, not without God's presence. How do you get God's presence? By praying to him and abiding in him. We want the end result. We don't want any path on the way there. In your presence is fullness of joy. Jesus says, unless you abide in me and I abide in you, again, you will not bear any fruit. You can do nothing. He says later on, you abide in me that your joy may be full. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, joy. How do we have the fruit of the Spirit? By the presence of God, the Spirit filling our lives. How do we have the filling of God in the presence and the Spirit in our lives? Is by the pursuit of dependence and prayer in him. Why so many believers lack joy is because they lack Jesus. Because our lives are so filled with everything else but him. God forgive us, and he will, and he does. The recipe for rejoicing is found in early, earnest prayer. And just before we move on, can you imagine? Let's say 200 or 300 people. We have a church of a few thousand. Can you imagine 200 or 300 people took this so seriously to pursue the Lord in this way with a daily desire to seek him in this type of prayer? Really doing it. Can you imagine a few hundred of us like sincerely sought the Lord in this way? This church would change. This church was changed. Loved ones, I know the stats. I know the stats. I hope our church is above average. But I just know, in total honesty, it's rare to have a believer who daily pursues the heart of God through word and prayer. In North America, it's rare. And that is devastating. If 200 or 300 of us would seek the Lord in sincerity and passion, this church would change. You'd walk into church for worship and song, you'd feel it. You'd walk into a prayer meeting this Wednesday, you'd feel it. The relational community, you'd feel it. Everything changes from this foundation. All these other things we want, all these other things we hope to get, all these other programs we hope to see happen, not without a foundation of abiding and presence and prayer in the Lord God Almighty. This is why David starts here. Life is hard, pray. Challenge, pray. Opposition, pray. Enemies, pray. To who? To one, my King and my God. And joy won't be too far behind. Ingredient number two, intentional, reverent purity. If you want joy in your life, not without purity. Impurity kills joy. Verse 4, for you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So, a serious passage here. If the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, then the question we must ask, then what repels his presence? You say, I want joy. I want true joy, lasting joy, Christ-filled joy. Then you want the presence of God. If you want the presence of God, though, you must understand what repels, quenches his presence. Look at what our text is saying here. The Lord despises wickedness. Evil cannot dwell with him. Pride is opposed by him. The boastful will not stand with him. Evil is hated by him. Liars will be destroyed by him. Murderers and deceivers are abhorred by him. Wow. Loved ones, please understand this as we live our lives, all right? God is so gracious and merciful, loving and kind, but please understand, God does not find our sin funny. God is never, ever amused by our sin. Look at how serious he is about holiness. Look how serious he is about purity. If we say we love Christ, if we say we believe in the gospel, but evil reigns in our lives, that's impossible. I want you to hear this today for this service right now, okay? You need to understand this theological reality and necessity. If we say we love Christ and we believe in the gospel, but evil reigns in our lives, that is a theological impossibility. See, why would you say that? Because the Bible says that. 1 John chapter 3, take a look. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. So practice is the key word there, okay? All of us sin every single day. All of us sin. Hate my sin. Can't wait for heaven. Glorification, the absence of sin once and for all. But however, there's a difference between sinning and struggling and hating sin by your whole life being dominated by a practice of sin. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Why? For God's seed abides in him. If God's seed abides in you, you cannot keep on sinning. Like there must be a process of change. Why? Because you've been born again by the Holy Spirit. You have been regenerated. You have gone from death to life. Jesus Christ has saved you. So although you sin now, you know, on a daily struggle, but the progress is there towards the Lord Jesus Christ. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. As we look at verses 4 and 6, without a doubt, these are ultimately referring to those who reject God, who hate God, who spurn God, unbelievers. We learn here in verses 4 and 6, and we'll hear as we go along in the psalm, they will not win, they will not last. Rampant impurity will be dealt with. Their pride will be held to account. It's holding up the very character and the holiness of our God. Loved ones, evil cannot dwell with him. The holiness of our God consumes evil. That's his character. It's who he is. He is a consuming fire. But watch what happens here with David, okay? David's understanding of impurity now is a massive incentive for his own purity. You see that? David's understanding of the seriousness of impurity as God sees impurity is now a massive incentive and motivator for his own purity in the pursuit of God. So David writes down, evil may not dwell with you, God. Think of that the next time you are tempted with demonic pornography. He says, the boastful shall not stand. Think of that as your life is built upon self-promotion and total selfishness. He says you destroy those who speak lies. Think of that when you are living a life of double-mindedness and deception and dishonesty and a lack of integrity. He says the Lord abhors the bloodthirsty. Think of that the next time you continually want to hate your neighbor. Now, before you start hating me, let's apply the gospel. Okay, so like, when I look at this list and I sit on this list as I have all this week, and the reality is the sin of my life comes to the surface, and the sin of my past and the sin of my future that's inevitable before Christ returns. There's a lot of conviction here. There's a lot of horror I feel in some ways. There's a lot of disgust and honestly just like, I'm in trouble because that is me. But then I apply the gospel. And the gospel tells me that if I have received Jesus Christ by grace through faith, that every single sin of mine, past, present, future, has been forgiven by him. That Jesus Christ has washed me clean by the blood that he shed, not mine, his, on the cross. And I am 100% fully forgiven. I deserve death. I deserve eternal wrath and separation apart from God. And yet in Jesus Christ, by his love and kindness and grace and mercy, I am absolutely 100% forgiven by him because of Jesus and because of his gospel. And so what this does for me, as much as I shudder at the reality of sin, I apply the gospel, what? It fills me now with a joy to say, I deserve death, but I'm alive. I deserve punishment. I'm innocent. I deserve God's wrath. I have God's favor. I don't deserve it. That doesn't make me grumpy. That makes me grateful. I now have joy because of the gospel. But the reality of the seriousness of impurity fills me with a wonder of my innocence and forgiveness. And now, what does this make me do now? Does this make me take the grace of God and say, now more sin? No. It makes me say, the grace of God, now more purity, God. More love for Christ, more thanksgiving for Christ, more devotion for Christ, more hunger for Christ, more pursuit of Christ. God, you've done everything for me. Now I want to live more for you. Not so you'll love me more, because you love me perfectly already. And now I want to give my life in obedience and as a love offering to you. I want to pursue purity now with my life, because you have set me free and cleansed me from such awful impurity of my past. This is what David's doing. You see the key to joy? The seriousness of impurity, but now the joy of pursuing purity because of what God has done. 2 Corinthians 7 just says it so well too. Again, since we have these promises, the promises are the gospel. It's the indicative, what God's done in the past. Because he's saved you, now, imperative, present, cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. Cleanse ourselves from sin, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. What a verse, you see? Because of what he's done, promises in the gospel, now we are motivated for purity and cleansing in Jesus Christ. Massive incentive on the path to joy. And notice what David does next. He sees the impurity, but now look at verse 7. He says, but I, look at, here's the gospel, right? Through the abundance of your steadfast love, I will enter your house. But I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you because of the holiness of God. I will be led by you, O Lord, in righteousness. I want my way to be straight before me. God, I seek you. Verses 7 and 8 are an incredible and incredibly powerful ingredient in the recipe of rejoicing. Verses 7 and 8 are so life-changing. But for that ingredient, you need to come back next week. So two ingredients today, and Lord willing, three more next week in the recipe for rejoicing. But you know what I love? And I love so much, church, listen. If you take seriously the first two ingredients today given to you in God's word of prayer and purity, if you go from hearing the word to doing the word, the guarantee is you will know joy in your life this week in a new way. That is absolutely guaranteed because it's the promise of God. Won't get easier. Life will get better. Prayer and purity, those ingredients alone, you will find joy starting to trickle and pour down into your life.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. Yeah, I wanna-